Hi, good morning, everyone. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord God. We just thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Father, we just lift up this time to you, Lord God. We just pray that the sharing today will be pleasing to you, will glorify you, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that you'll use me as your empty vessel to share your word and your heart with my brothers and sisters here this morning. So we just thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning, everyone. We'll be turning to the book of Joshua this morning. We'll be reading from verse 19. Starting from verse 19 of chapter 4 through to verse 12 of chapter 5. So again, from verse 19 of chapter 4 all the way through to chapter 5, verse 12. So the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. It continues in chapter 5. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeath Haraloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children whom he raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their place in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the people of Israel were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of produce of the land, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Amen. So a few months ago, during my quiet time, I felt the Lord impressing upon me to go back to the book of Joshua, and in particular to look at what God did at a place called Gilgal. And actually, if you recall, Pastor Angel, who was our guest speaker during our 15th anniversary, also spoke about Gilgal in the sermon called What Has God Done? Getting to Your Gilgal. It's a powerful sermon that I encourage you to go back to listen to if you have a chance. And just taking inspiration from Pastor Angel's message this morning, I would like to look at this passage with a particular focus on the things that God commanded the Israelites to do at Gilgal. And I hope by examining each of these moments, this might give us some guidance when we, either as a community or in our own personal walks, are about to enter into the next phase of what God has intended for us. We need to be prepared because although the next phase may contain greater blessings, it may also contain greater or at least new challenges that we need to be prepared for. So the title or the subject of my devotional this morning is called Preparing for the Next Phase. So just a quick recap, quick background. So from chapter 3, leading up to our passage in chapters 4 and 5, we read about how the priests were commanded to take the ark into the Jordan River. And as soon as the priests reached the river's edge, the river parted to allow the Israelites to cross over to the other side. So throughout these chapters, we're basically seeing a story of how the Israelites moved from one side of the Jordan River to the other. And then it was through the Lord asking the priest to take the ark into the river that the river basically parted, just like it happened with the Red Sea. And during the crossings, the priest stood in the middle of the riverbed carrying the ark while everyone else passed by, passed through. And when they were standing in the middle of the riverbed, one man from each of the 12 tribes were asked to take a stone from where the priests were. They took the 12 stones across the river to construct a memorial at a place called Gilgal, which is where our passage picks up. And this passage occurs just after Joshua led the Israelites cross the Jordan River. And finally, after nearly 4 decades in the wilderness, they're entering into the promised land. They're ready for the next phase of their journey. And as mentioned earlier, the title of my message is Preparing for the Next Phase. And I would submit to you this morning that there are four things that the Israelites had to do, and that we should be also, considering to do in our preparations when we're about to go into the next phase. And I came up with four things that starts with the letter C, which is firstly, we need to commemorate. Secondly, we need to cleanse. Third is we need to celebrate. And fourthly, we need to come of age. So on the first point, to commemorate. So just, very quickly going back to chapter 4, it says, "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua said about Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." It's interesting to consider that this is the very first act that the Lord commanded the Israelites to do after they had crossed the River Jordan. So it wasn't to immediately go attack Jericho and conquer the rest of Canaan. And it wasn't to go and enjoy this land of milk and honey, to just gorge themselves with the delicious food that they can have in the promised land. But no, the first thing that the Lord tells the Israelites to do was to build a memorial so that they could remember what God has done, and so that they can tell their descendants that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that they may fear the Lord forever. God knew that the most important thing for the Israelites was to remind them it was Him who brought them there. It was Him who allowed them to cross the River Jordan. It was Him who finally allowed them to leave the wilderness because they were finally willing to obey God. I think this is important. So as so often in the Israelites' walk, they almost quickly forget what God has done in their lives. You see it throughout Exodus, right? Barely after experiencing the amazing provisions of the Lord, parting of the Red Sea, pillars of fire and cloud. They complain and then they moan. And then, we can also see in the time it took Moses to go up a mountain and back, they build themselves a golden calf. In other words, God knew his people had a memory of a goldfish. And it's easy to look at the Israelites and go, oh, how could they? How could they? When the reality is that we aren't much better. So often, and this is, this applies to myself as well, we get caught up with in the latest difficulties, we get caught up in the latest troubles, and we're so wrapped up in doing things, we're so busy that we start shifting our focus away from God. And we forget that ultimately it is the Lord who gives the best guidance for our lives. So when we are at a place where we are ready to take the next step in our journey, we need to first constantly commemorate, to remember and remind ourselves what the Lord has done in our lives and how far he has taken us. Not by our strength, but by his. We need to constantly be thankful and count our blessings. God needed to remind the Israelites and us that ultimately it is he who guides all of us. So the second thing we see from verses 2 to 9 of chapter 5 is what I'll call we need to cleanse. So we see that during the years in the wilderness, the Israelites neglected to circumcise the newer generation. So this is the second thing the Lord makes the Israelites do after they have crossed the River Jordan. And actually, if you think about it from a very worldly perspective, it actually doesn't make almost that much sense or any sense to do a circumcision at this place at this time. Because when we know from verse 1 that the Amorite and Canaanite kings were aware the Israelites had crossed the Jordan. And the Israelites themselves were camped, where Gilgal is, isn't that far away from Jericho. So by performing the circumcision at this point, they were basically leaving themselves open to attack, or they were failing to take advantage of the fear of the Amorite and Canaanite kings that we read in verse 1. Because you have to remember, after circumcision, Israelite men would be incapacitated for a period of time where they needed to rest and then that they needed to heal. But what God wants from the Israelites and from us is radical obedience, to trust that he is ultimately the one who will protect us, that his plans are better than ours, that he is more focused on ensuring the foundation of his relationship with his people has been properly established before anything else takes place. It is important to God that the Israelites would first restore the covenantal relationship with God and set themselves apart for God through the act of circumcision before going on to conquer the promised land. It reads in verse 9, following the circumcision, that it reads, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.'" And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. The Lord was telling his people that because of their obedience, he has now rolled away the disgrace of Egypt, that experience of slavery, that experience of humiliation, that they are now set apart from the Egyptian people and their way of life. They no longer needed to see and identify themselves as they were during their time in slavery and bondage. And similarly, when we prepare ourselves for the next step, we also need to set ourselves apart. Deuteronomy 36. "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live." Galatians 2:20. "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We need to continue this process of cleansing, of sanctification, and break away from fleshly or worldly desires or way of looking at things. That we constantly die to ourselves and move away from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. And we need to circumcise our hearts so that we are focused and living for God. And the third thing we read in verse 10 is that we need to celebrate. So in verse 10 we read that God had the Israelites celebrate the Passover. Now, based on the passages, it seems like this is a practice, just like circumcisions, that the Israelites basically did not continue to do during their time in the wilderness, as the last mention of celebrating the Passover was in the book of Numbers, chapter 9. So almost 39 years ago when they left Mount Sinai. This is also, of course, the very first time they're celebrating Passover in the Promised Land. And Passover is extremely significant to the Israelites, as along with circumcision, these were the seals of the covenants with God. By having not kept up these practices during their rebellion, their time in the wilderness, this seal was broken. And that the Israelites are now celebrating Passover signified the covenant, that the covenant was restored. And similarly, when we also need to remember to celebrate, because while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. We need to continually celebrate the work that was done on the cross, that because Christ had victory over death, that we can have eternal life, that he delivered and redeemed us, and that he is worthy of our perpetual and constant worship. And finally, the fourth thing that we read from verses 11 to 12 is that we need to come of age. So in verses 11 to 12, what God did was that he stopped the provision of manna after the Israelites began eating from the produce of the Promised Land. So God, throughout the time that the Israelites left Egypt, after they crossed the Red Sea, God always provided manna for the Israelites to eat. But now that they were in the Promised Land, God has provided them with a land where they can grow and harvest provisions for themselves. The Israelites were coming of age, entering into a new relationship with God, where they would no longer just get the food without any input, but they would need to partner with God to provide for themselves. And similar in our own walks, we also need to grow in our relationship with God. I was reminded of 1 Corinthians 3:2. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready. We need to continuously grow and go deeper in our relationship with God. We need to be ready for solid food, right? We need to be conscious that we're not just being fed, but that we are maturing in our faith, that we're contributing, sacrificing, and partnering with God to do his kingdom work. So as we prepare for a time of worship, I just wanted to mention one more thing from the passage that the Israelites did at Gilgal. In chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "The people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho." Gilgal was a place where the Israelites camped. So this was their base of operations as they began their journey into the Promised Land, which means that they could always come back here to rest, to recover, to replenish. So for us, when we are on our journey, when we are preparing for the next phase, or we're entering into the next phase, we can always come back to God to rest, to recover, to restore, to replenish. And whenever we may have lost our way, we can always go back to God to prepare again. And we can do this by commemorating, by cleansing, by celebrating and coming of age. And so as we sing this worship song, let us not forget to always keep our eyes focused on the Lord. So let's worship.
Mm-hmm.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I have made, when it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things are doing, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I have made, when it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I have made it, when it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I have made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Let's turn to our corporate prayers for this morning. Let's just lift up our community. Let's lift up all our brothers and sisters who are either going through, our family or friends who are going through cancer or chemo and radiation therapy and surgery. So let's just take a moment to let's lift them up. Thank you. turn to the next slide. Let's lift up all of our friends and family members who are suffering from various ailments, but who also really need spiritual healing as well, that they need a touch of salvation in their lives. So just lift up our loved ones. Lift up all our brothers and sisters and friends and family who are suffering from infirmities. Let's just pray for the Lord to release his healing hand upon them. Lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs. Let's just pray for God to open the right doors for them. Let's lift up our mission focus. Let's pray for SP New York, for the leadership there, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's just pray that God will continue to just guide them, give them wisdom, give them unity. Let's also lift up North Korea. Just pray for open doors for ministry in North Korea. Let's also just pray for any new or continued missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. And let's also pray for the persecuted churches, especially in the Middle East. So let's just take a moment to lift them up. Let's just pray for our weekend gathering. Let's pray for tomorrow's Sunday service. Let's pray for the Well Ministry, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Spin, Spill, and Migrant Working Classes, and all the meetings that are taking place this weekend. So let's just take a moment to lift this up. Let's lift up our sisters. who are pregnant. Let's just pray for just a smooth pregnancy, and let's pray for just a clean delivery in the coming months, and an easy delivery for our sisters. And so let's just lift them up. Finally, let's lift up our city of Hong Kong. Thank God for just basically no local transmission in Hong Kong. But let's just continue to lift up the city. Just pray for protection over the city and also for unity for the city, Hong Kong. So, Father, again, we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for this time where we can come together and just spend some time in your word and just pray for things corporately as a body. Father, I just pray that, as we, wherever we are in our journeys, Lord God, that you will, that when we need to prepare ourselves for the next phase, that we'll continue to remind ourselves that we need to commemorate you, that we need to cleanse ourselves, that we need to celebrate you, and that we also ultimately need to come of age. So just, Father, we just thank you again for giving this time. We love you. We just pray for protection over all our brothers and sisters over this weekend. So we just thank you. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. So just thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. God bless. Have a great day.